You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I want to invite you back towards a seat, whether it's here in person or at your home, wherever you happen to be. We are going to be in Galatians chapter 5 today. We're continuing a series we just started last week. It's called Walk with the Wise. After finishing our Better Together series going through Philippians, we're going to be heading towards a series this fall called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Joni referenced it. It's one of the classes that Central Valley School of Ministry does. But we're going to be doing a class, or basically going through it as a congregation, and then I know some of our small groups, Lighthouses, are going to be going in more depth week by week to discuss and to talk through and apply the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. But in the meantime, as we're going through Walk with the Wise, over these next few weeks, last week we were in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And let's go ahead and kick off with that. I'll read that verse and then talk a little bit about what's coming in the today and then the next couple of weeks. And so it says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." This isn't just like you go to Idlewild and walk the crooked mile and make sure you're with people who know where they're going. Okay? The idea of walking with the wise is, the idea of walking is finding a place that you can connect with and in a long-term way set your way, or the attitude or inclination of your heart and your life, to be heading in a direction that is tempered with, that is informed by wisdom, and that we would not be people who are foolish. And this isn't talking about like the fool, like the jester. This is talking about the fool who says in his heart there is no God. They live vile, corrupt lives. This isn't just about like, and I grew up on Jerry Lewis. It was, you know, in some ways, when it was Martin and Lewis, it was okay, but Jerry Lewis on his own, it's like I couldn't watch. It was just so foolish, and it felt like such a waste of time. And yet still they loved him in France. I don't understand that. But when it came down to like understanding what foolishness is, it's not about something that's silly. It's about something that's opposed to God. And so this word from Solomon saying, walk with those that are wise, that are making decisions that have the eternal in mind. Walk with those who have and are continuing to build something with their life that is worthwhile and healthy and life-giving, and not from those where there's like, there's just a bunch of destruction. Without getting into too much detail, we live in a neighborhood that I really love and I really enjoy. And not long ago, in April actually, while we were in the middle of our main point of lockdown that we've experienced so far, Joni and I are walking up into the upper parts of our neighborhood, and we come across this house, and it's a beautiful house. It's like a three-story house, and very, very nice, and at least when it was built. And the inhabitants of the house, it seems as though they don't really care to care for the house. I'm not talking about like Louis' level of outside yard maintenance type of thing going on. I'm talking about windows broken and left open constantly, screens being shattered and tattered, the plywood covering over a screen door that had been destroyed and just kind of left there as the permanent thing. And you kind of look at it, and over time, the house has gone into very obvious disrepair. It's a beautiful house, beautiful neighborhood, and it's got barbed wire up all the way around it, and you know, hand-painted, spray-painted signs that say "Keep Out" and you know, "No Cops" and all this other stuff. You know, of course, that would, I mean, like 85 cars in there, and you know, half of them look like they might run, or they would have in 1973. And looking at it, I'm thinking, this is had such great, incredible potential, but through neglect, but even through a series of, by engaging in a lifestyle of neglect, it has become visible to the entire neighborhood that something funky is going on here, and it's not something you want to be associated with. Does that make sense? And that's not just saying, man, let's get on the HOA, because there ain't no HOA where we live. But which is a positive at times. But really, our lives have that type of curb appeal or lack thereof based upon how we're living, but who we're walking with as well. You know, my mom, when I was a kid, always wanted to meet my friends. Anybody else's parents always wanted to meet your friends? I didn't want her to meet my friends, because then she would know too much about me. Because, I don't know, kids often will, especially in the elementary years, try and present the best version of themselves to their parents, usually. And then they, you know, the real them is off with their friends. My mom's like, why don't you bring your friends around more? It's like, because then you'd know. you'd know, you'd be able to see, because they don't have the kind of filters that I have and they can't fake it as good as I can. And so it was one of those things where I really didn't want to do that because it would be revealing the duplicitousness with, you know, they weren't bad, but they also weren't, they didn't fully support my living in the way that I wanted to live in following after Jesus. And it's very rare that you're going to come across somebody that says, hi, I'm an emissary of Satan and I'm here to destroy your life and I want to be as close to you as possible for as long as possible. That's not how he usually shows up. Usually it's a lot more like, dude, do you really need to do that? Why don't we just like lighten up a little bit and we can do this instead? And it's a very nice, slow descent into the mess. Very rarely is it a cowabunga dude off of into the ravine. Anyway, over these next weeks, today I'm going to be talking about the flesh and the spirit and how by cooperating with the Holy Spirit and talking is really hard today. That's like you totally just now got 3 and 4 year old Louie because I had a willy terrible wisp and I couldn't say my R's or my L's, which was willy hard for Louie. Cooperating with the Holy Spirit and also learning how to deal with our flesh. A lot of the times we can blame the problems that we're experiencing on spiritual opposition. Scripture reveals to us that most, if not all, of the opposition that we receive begins with our flesh, begins with this man or that woman that you are. And it is the natural part of, because of the sin of Adam and Eve, it's been passed down from generation to generation where there's a part of us that actively opposes anything that God wants to do in and through and around our lives. So just think as a general definition, the flesh is that part of us that wants what we want when we want it. It's the forever 7-year-old that's in there, or the forever 16-year-old that wants no discipline. They want all the benefits with none of the hard work. We want all of this with none of the cost of it. Next week, we're going to be talking about idols. And I'm not talking about these little images that are graven we can look at and say, like my grandmother, I remember going into her house and she had hundreds, literally hundreds of these knick-knack Buddhas all over the house. And it was a small house. It couldn't have been more than 1,000 square feet, but hundreds of these little Buddhas. I'm not talking about that. We look at that and say, should you really be worshiping Buddhas? Like, no, but we're Americans and we're Christians. We don't worship nothing, right? We're going to talk about idols and where we're warned against allowing anything that would challenge Christ for supremacy of our life and how we can identify what those are and how can we can avoid them. Over and over again, Paul points out, says, hey, he will say, or James or John or one of the writers of the New Testament will say something like, you know, watch out for idols. Don't give yourself to idols. Avoid that. Then finally, week 4, we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare or warring spiritually, how to stand firm in who God made us to be against the evil spirited that are attempting to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. And so we're talking flesh and spirit today. We're talking idols and avoiding idols and keeping Christ number one in our life. And then we're talking about warring spiritually and resisting the evil spirited. So Heavenly Father, as we start this day, as we look at your word, I pray that you would cause it to go deep into our hearts, that you would rewrite what needs to be rewritten, that you'd write on our heart your word, that we would know you. And Lord, that you reveal to us what needs to be revealed. Cause your life to spring up in us and in our families and our neighborhoods and every place the sole of our foot goes. In Jesus' name. Amen. So the idea of this series, Walking with the Wise, really has to do with learning to live in a way that God can and will bless. And also learning to, it's like as we go, we want to God to be continually adding to us the things that he wants us to be able to have so we can continue to grow, not just in our knowledge of him, but in the depth and breadth of our relationship with him. I don't want to be looking back in 10, 15, 20 years. But in 20 years, I'll be 70 years old. I don't want to be looking back when I'm 70 and thinking, man, I sure wish I would have made wiser decisions. And instead of living for dissipation, or instead of living foolishly and wasting my life, I want to live for something that's going to be eternal. Nothing has made me think more that way than to see my grandkids and to look at them and think there is a legacy that I did not know I was leaving to my own children that now becomes very evident as I get to see the little guys and the little girls. By faith. No pressure, kids. So when we come to Christ and we receive salvation, we can think, how come once we become Christians, all of a sudden we just can't follow Jesus without any problems? I've told the story many times, but I've had the conversation more than one time where someone comes to Christ and then the next day will come and say, it didn't work because I still have the same pull inside here and the same challenges that I was wrestling with yesterday are still here and I'm still challenged in this and that. And being able to say, salvation is when is we trust and believe that God has brought us from the old new, old us to the new us. He's brought us from death to life. And there is an aspect called being made right with God. The fancy church word is justification. We've been justified, made just as if we'd never sinned before God. And that happens because of Christ's payment on the cross. It happens in a moment. But the thing that really gets us that we don't often really grasp is sanctification. Another fancy $6 word. Look it up, Chris. Okay? All right. Sanctification. The process of being made holy. This is something that will be a part of our life until Jesus returns. We are always going to be being made holy because that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And there will come a time, it talks about in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, when there'll be a loud shout, there'll be a trumpet, the angels will be announcing that they're coming. It says the dead in Christ will rise first, and it says, and we will all be changed. At that moment, all of us will go from who we are right now to the perfected character that comes about from a person who has been transformed by God, and it'll happen all at once. He never does the fairy godmother, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, and you're done in a second. It's always a process of learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, being made holy. So over these next few minutes as we're talking about this, I want you to be thinking, this isn't about willpower, okay? Willpower can play a role in doing a lot of things, but we cannot grow in holiness or in our relationship with God by trying harder. The Old Testament exists to reveal to us that all the trying in the world does not help because we can't bridge the gap ourselves to pay for our own sin. And we can't bridge the gap to, by willpower, make the decision because we're still stuck with us. The raw material needs to be transformed. And when we see the new birth that happens in Christ, there is a part of us that Christ makes alive while there's still a part of us that it was the flesh that was dead, and we get to cooperate with that Holy Spirit to grow in our relationship with Christ while at the same time resisting the attempts of our flesh to drag us back down towards death. So the flesh is kind of like the very worst version of me. The ode to the flesh is do what you want when you want. It's the Frank Sinatra back in the day. It was, I did it my way. There's nothing that I can do that I don't want to do. There's everything is open for me. I don't want to wait. I don't want to work for it. I just want it, and I want it now. For those of you who grew up on the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder, she's your Veruca Salt. This is the epitome of flesh. I want it now, Daddy. I got to have this. Our flesh, anybody besides me, you ever wrestle with any of this? It shows up, it's selfish, it's destructive it in our thoughts, in our senses, in our feelings, in our emotions. And really, it's driven by feeling, and it's driven, and I don't mean by emotion. It's like we get hit with a craving, and we have to act on the craving. You got to do it now because you just can't say no. I don't know if we've ever decided, like, you know, a couple weeks ago, I decided I'm going to resume fasting on this particular day. And it's not, I usually eat about 2 meals a day, sometimes up to 4. But on days when I'm getting ready to fast, I need like 7 meals because I'm just so hungry. I'm just so hungry. And as I'm desiring to fast, there's a part of me that says, you know what you haven't had in a long time? A Maverick hot dog. A Maverick hot dog with chili and mustard. Just swimming in this little river, a boat in the river of chili love, and you haven't had that. And it's, well, they're not serving it right now, but the thought of just, maybe I could just go into Maverick and walk around and see what I could find. If you spend enough time in Maverick, you're gonna find something. And the whole point was, it's not that taking an hour to not eat, because I want to focus on spending time praying and talking to Jesus and ask him to transform me instead of the eating part. And my body's like, no, we can't do that to me. And that's just, it's a silly example, but it also, there's times where if we're listening just to our flesh, we will find ourselves in circumstances we have no business being in because we followed an urge or a nudge that eventually leads towards destruction. Joni was talking about the plans. Like before we got married, we wanted to we wanted to wait for sexual intimacy until we got married. And I got to tell you, up until we're getting ready to get married, the desire to be one was so strong, and that desire has never left. Thank the Lord God Almighty. But there's also this point where there has to be a plan for how will we function in a world where if you feel a sexual urge, you are encouraged to pursue that regardless of your marital status. It's okay. We just want you to be happy. Well, I don't think I'd be happy unless I experienced this. No one told me after I got married that there could be times where my wife and I were fighting with each other, or we were great at odds, where she just doesn't get me. And I'd meet someone at work, or I'd meet someone somewhere else, and there'd be like this, hey, this person probably would get you better than they do. And it's a temptation, and I've never gone down that road because I always subscribe to the Joseph method, which is as soon as temptation shows up and says, hey there, want to pick me up? It's like anything that can be picked up, that he's been picked up several times. So I'm on my way and hit the road. But to be able to know in my head, I can't even entertain it because the longer I would stick in that and start to create an alternate world where I'm understood and where it's not hard work, which is fake. The closer I get towards destruction, the whole of the Proverbs over and over says, watch out for adultery. Don't commit adultery. Anybody who commits adultery is a fool. Why? Because people start thinking and it's not with this. Okay? We start thinking with our feelings and on these urges. And the world that we live in rewards this under the guise of happiness. We have to have a plan. I had no idea that I was going in this direction, but you started it, woman. Okay. For us, the acts of the flesh lead to death and destruction. A couple of examples. Cain was the first son, and he and his brother Abel are told they need to offer sacrifices to God, and Cain offers, he's a farmer, so he offers up some vegetables and fruit. Cain gives kind of some leftover stuff to God. Abel is a shepherd. He offers the best of his flock. God receives Abel's offering. He rejects Cain's. And Cain got super mad. I am the oldest. I'm the one who should have favor. I can't believe this, that you're accepting him. You're not accepting me. And it says God even showed up and said, now, Cain, sin is waiting at the door right now. Being angry is not the sin, but sin is waiting at the door of your heart right now. And unless you master it, it's going to come in here and take over. And Cain's all, yeah, whatever. I'm ticked and I got to do something. And so he invited Abel, let's go play in the field. Come on, I want to show you something. And he brings him out there and he kills him. And then he buries him. And God comes and asks him, Cain, where's your brother? He says, I don't know. Am I in charge of my brother? Am I my brother's keeper? And God says, I saw what you did. He acted upon an urge that was flesh. Another one, David. He's a king at this time. At a time when kings go to war, David decides he's going to stay home. And he's just resting on his laurels. And he's sitting on his roof of his palace. And he's checking out the lady next door who is ritually purifying herself after her period. And she's bathing and she's naked. And David stands up there and he stays on the roof for a while. David has many wives. He has many children. He knows who this woman is because her husband is one of his main bodyguards who's out, conveniently, at war. And David, at some point, says, I have to have her. It doesn't matter that he's got his own wives. It doesn't matter that he's got his own family. It doesn't matter that he's not even where he's supposed to be at this moment. All that matters is he saw her naked. And he was enticed, and he sins for her, and he takes her, and she gets pregnant, and she goes home. And then she comes back and says later, David, I'm pregnant. And he's like, oh, no, what are we going to do? He tries to make her husband go stay with her to get, you know, pretend to get her pregnant so he can be off the hook. When the husband is too honorable and will not go to home to his wife, David has his trusted bodyguard killed, and then he takes the woman to be his own wife. That's what our flesh does. Those are examples of the flesh in action. Don't sit here and think, well, I've never done that. I've never done that. Our flesh. Now, the spirit is the best version. our best version of us. It's when we do what God wants us to do. And this is not a, and that's why your life's going to be terrible, you're not going to enjoy it, because you're doing God's work here. This isn't, you know, the traditional, for me, chickens are the worst animals on the planet unless they're in your hand in the form of a wing and you're eating them, okay? If you're raising chickens, I always thought if I was really going to obey God, he'd send me to do chicken farming in somewhere in like the tip of the Horn of Africa. It'd be the worst, and I don't want to do that. No, Jesus came to give us life in all of its fullness, and he wants us to be people who are blessed but also can be a blessing to other people. One of my favorite examples of this, a woman who lives by the Spirit, is this lady named Dorcas. Okay, her other name was Tabitha. Both names mean gazelle. And she's this wonderful woman who's a part of a church who was so thankful for that what God had done in her life that all she wanted to do was to be a blessing to other people. And she would, you know, she could not see, you know, Joni here. She couldn't see Jordan there. She couldn't see Noah and Ethan back here without saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to find out what size Ethan is, and I'm just going to make him a little shirt. And she'd go make him a little shirt, and she'd bring him the shirt, and he'd put it on and be like, thank you, Dorcas. And he'd just all the time, Dorcas is doing this stuff because she just loves people. And it's not that, you know, only people are godly who can make the shirts, because then my Nana would be wonderful because she made shirts all the time. But it was, her desire was to take that which God had done in her and share it with other people, and it brought life. And there came a point where Dorcas got sick and died, and Peter, the apostle, was in the neighborhood, and he went, and people are mourning, and they're saying, Dorcas made me this shirt, and she did this, and she did that. And everybody's all broken up because of the impact that this woman has had. A person led by the Spirit leaves an imprint on the lives of the people around them, not because they're wonderful and great, but because the Holy Spirit's working through them. And that's what Jesus does. He blesses others, and he usually will use a person to do that. That's enough of an impetus for me to want to be able to be walking by the Spirit. So I want to be a blessing to people. Peter goes and he, you know, kind of prays and picks Dorcas up by the hand, and she's able to walk, and everybody's all, Dorcas! And they're celebrating her, and she goes back to doing what she was doing. But we just, in those couple of examples, you can see the flesh is about selfish. It leads towards destruction. It does not think long term. It doesn't take into consideration consequences. And the Spirit is about not just me, but a blessing to others. And it's something that multiplies and goes out this way. Is that making sense? Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. We're going to be going through the end of the chapter in just a minute. But I want you to be, every time we hear about the flesh, be thinking about that which would go towards my destruction and the destruction of other people, okay? Galatians chapter 5. I got my old new Bible, the duct tape one, babe. All right. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another up in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the sinful nature, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. God made us to be people who are free. Once we became when our sinful nature was exposed, we began to walk in this kind of this dichotomy where we're living according to sin, even though God's calling us to something different. As Paul's writing this, he's challenging the Galatians to not allow their freedom. The freedom is not just found in the fact that they don't have to keep the law anymore because it's been fulfilled in Christ, but the freedom that comes is one where I can be set free to be able to live, so I don't have to live according to the compulsions, but I can live being led by the Spirit. The instruction here is don't allow your freedom to be something that is just an excuse to feed your flesh. And he says one way you can short circuit that is to intentionally start out by serving one another in love. Your flesh does not want to serve other people in love. Your flesh wants to be served and wants to be served now. Paul will often point things out like this, and the Holy Spirit will teach us things that are they're really encouraging because when we come across them, it's not like it's this grand action. Just do this and everything will be okay. It's like you want to be able to short-circuit your flesh, look for places to serve other people in love. Because if you're serving other people in love, it's really hard to start thinking about yourself and what you need. Find a place to serve in love. Love your neighbor instead of biting and devouring each other. The invitation is to walk or to live your life according to the Spirit. And it's like, it's not like you can do both, because on one hand, you've got a path that heads this way. The flesh opposes everything having to do with the Spirit, and the Spirit's heading in this direction. Its desires are contrary to that of the flesh. And so the way that we can tell what is motivating, whether it's flesh or whether it's Spirit, really comes out in the fruit of what we see, the evidence of the life, the outcome. Here's where this road ends up. How do we know it's a bad road? Because here's what it says. This is what it looks like when we start to feed our flesh versus when we start to feed the Spirit. We start to see the wear and tear of destruction taking place when we're walking according to the flesh. It shows up in our life. The shutters start to come off. The screens get torn. People aren't shutting the doors anymore. The house becomes inhabited by the rabbits and all the other creatures that need to stay in the outside, but they're coming inside and wreaking havoc. It's evident. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Just sit on that for a second. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, this is the flesh, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. The fruit of the Spirit, however, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, the flesh, with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another. The acts of the flesh are obvious. They stem from an extreme self-focus and an indulgence without concern for short or long-term outcomes. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one of these, but just to kind of give a little explanation, sexual immorality is sex or sexual involvement outside of marriage, and includes adultery, which is sexual intimacy between people that are not married to each other but are married to somebody. Fornication or porneia is one that sexuality or sexual intimacy between people that are not married to anybody. It's not an accident that the word for fornications in Greek is the root word for our word pornography, because sexual immorality starts to then, as it shows up in our culture, the availability more and more of the indulging of the flesh through what our eyes can get a hold of. I think one of the things that I never had to deal with as a kid, for us growing up, if we were going to be exposed to pornography, it would have to have been at the Indian Smoke Shop in Carson City, and we would have had to make a concerted effort to get there, to get to the shelf to make that happen. In today's world, you don't have to look for it. It shows up on your phone. Okay, you can be following an article about baseball and about relief pitchers, and at the bottom, there's some teaser ads. Anybody know what I'm talking about by a teaser ad? Hey, can you believe this? Can you believe she went out in public wearing that? It's like, wearing what? Doesn't tell me anything. Well, you click on it and find out, oh, it takes you into places that's not the kind of play. This is not about baseball. Not the kind of baseball I grew up with. Not at all. And pretty soon, we think, well, I would never do that. Here's the thing. If we're human and we see something, there is a pull inside of us to want to look. And not just like in the car accident type of a look, but there's something about the human form. We see it, and it's like, oh, that's attractive. And if we do not have a plan on how we're going to navigate through that, we can find ourselves in this cycle that's never ending, where we pursue it and we look at stuff, we watch stuff we don't want to watch, and come back later feeling terrible, like, God, please forgive me, for I don't want to go down that road. You know, the Bible says if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And it's like, I plucked my eyes out, God, but I'm still thinking about it in my head. Do a work in me. These things, we have to have a plan of how we're going to resist the temptation, because that which seems it's not affecting anybody, it has a huge effect on us cumulatively. If it killed us immediately, we wouldn't do it. None of us are wanting, maybe Peter, because he works for NV Energy, would go over and he'd grab a hold of a power line because he knows how to do it appropriately. But none of us would be like, hey, there's a down power line. Say, hey, let's go grab it. We could die. Yeah, but maybe we won't. What happened to Louis? Well, the path of destruction that the flesh leads us on is an enjoyable, soft descent that ends up coming down into Pinocchio's Island real quick. Impurity and debauchery, the lustful indulgence of sexual appetite, being like a dog. One of the things about, growing up, we had dogs. One was a Cocker Spaniel. She was a girl. Her name was Priscilla. And we had a German Shepherd named Prince. And he was a dog, a boy dog. And whenever Priscilla would go into heat, Prince lost his brain. He'd just go crazy. And it wasn't just Priscilla. He was crazy for Cocker Spaniels, like Lady and the Tramp, nothing like that. It was any dog in heat. Prince is like, woo, party time. Because that's where he was at. That was just, he's a dog. That's what they do. That's how they propagate. That's can be what happens with our flesh. Idolatry and witchcraft. I'm no Harry Potter. I don't do that. Idolatry, worship of false gods, drugs, sorcery, attempting to manipulate the spiritual world to get what I want. Okay, we're Christians. We would never engage in witchcraft, right? Let me throw out something. When we think that we can do something, like let's just say, God, I'm going to pray and fast tomorrow, and then you're going to do this for me. You're going to answer this prayer. You're going to provide for this need as a direct result of this. What I'm attempting to do with God is to engage in a transactional relationship. If I pulled the name of God out of it and I went and instead was doing the same thing, going to a fortune teller, going to a person who practiced sorcery, it's the same behavior. We cannot engage with God in a transactional relationship. Like somehow we can manipulate the spiritual to get the results we want. That's witchcraft. Many of us would not even think about that. We can't do that. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, envy, giving yourself over to whatever you may feel, drunkenness and orgies, giving yourself to excess and indulgence, do what you feel. Paul says, by the way, as he washes his hands, if we live according to the flesh, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21 in the Message. It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper and an impotence of love or to be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. The acts of the flesh are obvious. The fruit of the Spirit, here is what emerges as a byproduct of our lives walking by the Spirit of God. We see love, we see joy, we see peace, we see patience, we see kindness, love in action. We see goodness. We see faithfulness. We see gentleness. We see self-control. These are not just things that are like, here's a dose of love. Here's a dose of joy. Here's a dose of peace. These are things that become very evident, and they're the things that flow out of our life by being connected to the Lord. In John chapter 15, it says, remain in me, and you'll grow fruit. You know, anything apart from me, you're not going to grow fruit. He says, my Father is the vine dresser. You know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The only way for a branch to grow is for fruit. Let me tell you this. A person who has become a Christian receives gifts from God. And the gifts of God and the calling of God will not be revoked even if the person is not living a life of character walking with the Lord. Because you don't have to be walking in good character with the Lord to continue to have those gifts that you have. That's what the scripture says. If we look at the good stuff somebody's doing, we say, oh, wow, that person's really gifted. They really are strong in teaching, or they're really strong in that, and that they're having a big impact in the kingdom of God, so God must be blessing them no matter what. No, the gifts are without repentance. They don't go away. The thing that goes away is the fruit. If we're not staying connected to Jesus, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness, the gentleness and self-control become absent from our lives. And in a Western Christianity, we can almost platform people who are very gifted who have no fruit of the Spirit showing up in their life because they're good at the game of church. They're good at the game of whatever it is that they're doing, and they're missing out on the fact that it's not about being great in the kingdom of God and everybody knowing you. It's about being a person who reflects Jesus in your life and having that be the driving force of what motivates you. If we're looking just at the outcomes, we can see people. And, you know, part of it, I focus a lot on pastors because I are one. I get to see over the years people who God has blessed the areas of their life and ministry, and yet they're living like hell, and stuff falls apart, and eventually the wheels come off. And it's a terrible tragedy because people look at it and say, they get so confused. The gifts of God he doesn't ever take them away, but the fruit is only in our life if we stay connected to Jesus. So may it never be said, well, he's a really gifted pastor, but what a jerk. Man, that person really knows the scriptures well, but I wouldn't want to hang out with him. Wisdom is an invitation to go for the long-lasting, Jesus-pointed lifestyle that allows his character to be worked into us and then shared with the people around us. Because it's never thinking about me and mine. Little sneak peek into next week in Idols. In America, we really love self-made people. We create superstars. We look at the scriptures, the Old Testament, and we turn them. They can't just be like David and Samson and Elijah. We need heroes of the faith. We need super heroes of the faith. Look at them, these great men and women of God, because that's what we hold that up. Man, that person's done so many great things. And on one hand, we can celebrate what God can do in a person. On the other hand, it's very close to we run the risk of being proud of the things that we can do. And we can almost forget God's role in those things. Does that make sense? And we wouldn't even identify that as an idol. Walk according to the flesh leads to destruction. According to the Spirit leads to life. Okay, so anybody besides me, you recognize you've got both of those things going on in your life? Yes? Okay, good. So everyone here, I can testify, everyone here at least gave me one of these, okay? We either got a bunch of bobbleheads. I don't know what's going on. So how do we resist the flesh? I already said willpower is not going to help, because at some point you run out of willpower. You reach your Popeye moment. You know that I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more. You do, and you just go. You got to give in. Nope. It says those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So it's the easy way. You just got to die. You just got to die. No problem. Just die. And then it'll be okay. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This life I live in this body, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I die daily. I recognize that if I'm going to be walking according to the Spirit, I cannot feed the flesh and just at times do what the flesh wants and then other times do what the Spirit wants, because they're in opposition to each other. The battle between flesh and spirit, what am I going to feed? Now, there's elements of the church over the last several hundred years that took this up. I'm going to crucify the flesh. I'm going to mortify the flesh. I'm going to resist the flesh. That means I'm going to have to really, I'm not going to have anything good. They really ascribe to a life of asceticism or doing without anything nice. There were even some real strange stuff where people would wear uncomfortable clothes. It was not uncommon for them to wear, like, really, really itchy shirts. They called them the itchy shirts. And they'd wear the itchy shirt because it was uncomfortable. And then they would wear like spikes around their legs because it would dig into their flesh and it hurt really bad. And that would just remind them, I'm supposed to mortify the flesh. And it's like, that's not even, no. No, that's not what it is. It's not that. It is recognizing that that which starts out as something that presents itself as an indulgence heads down a road towards destruction. And if I'm going to offer myself to Christ, it means that I'm going to have to learn how to resist when the temptations of the enemy start coming at me, when the temptations of the flesh and the passions start coming at me. And so how do I do that? He uses the term crucify because we know what that means, right? When Jesus was killed, they put him on the cross, on the crossbar, was laying on the ground, and they take the spikes, and they put him into his hands, they put him into his feet, and they drop it into a hole in the ground. He's laying there. He's crucified. He will die. It took a long time for him to die, but it would take anywhere from 6 to 15 hours for a person who was crucified to die, but the flesh has been crucified. That means I'm making no provision for it. Okay? Going back, if I'm saying I do not want to indulge sexual immorality, I don't want to do that, it means that I'm going to, for an example, I'm going to block out the channels on my TV that potentially could offer things I don't want to see. It means I'm not going to keep a stash of stuff that would be potential for me to get back into it later. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone who said, you know, God called me to give this up because I knew it was destructive. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to do that. It's like, well, okay, and then what'd you do? Well, I just put them away. If you put it away, there's going to come a time when your flesh is like, I need. You know why? Because that's what we do. We degenerate into three-year-olds. I need, and we're going to melt unless we just have this. And the whole idea of crucifying is like, no, I'm done. I'm not saying get rid of your TV. I'm not saying, that's not, it's too easy to say something. The pastor said to do this. The Holy Spirit will tell you, what are the things you need to say, I'm done with this. I'm no longer going to be going down that road. What does it look like for me to feed my spirit instead of my flesh? Well, let me tell you this. This is one of the things for me. Last night, my wife and I had a beautiful night, wonderful night, incredible night. And then she talked to me, okay? And I don't even know if you know this, but you said something to me. She fired me up. And there was a point where it's like, threw the whole night away, babe. This is in my head. I'm not saying this to her. I'm not even giving her the, no. I can't, you can't stew sitting down. So frustrated that you do this. Yes, what you said is true, but why do you have to bring it up tonight and say that to me? And it's like, all of a sudden, I can feel inside, it's like for anger for me, I picture these little tiny coal miner guys, and they're taking coal, and it's like, he's getting heated up. Let's throw the coal on the fire. They're like, here we go. Here we go. He's getting mad. He's going to get worked up. He's going to fight her. It's like, here we go. He's going to show her. Can't talk to him like that. And I'm like, here we go. Yeah, go ahead, guys. Here we go. And it's almost like I can feel the anger start to rise up. And it's not just anger. It was righteous anger. It was more of that, oh, yeah, you want to see that? You had to go through this hard time with me? Let me show you what a hard time looks like with Louie. Okay? And I can remember there was about a 10% part of me that says no. But the 90% is like, duh, here we go. We're going to do this. And the 10% is no. No. And I'm sitting there, and I can remember thinking, Jesus, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Please, please, please help me. Stop. And I went around on that, and I was quiet, and not just in the quiet where it's like, oh, he's stewing. I was working through it. I don't know if you noticed that. I didn't engage in a negative way with you. Not that God gives us brownie points. I resisted, and it got to the point where it's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And it's like, babe, I got to go to bed. I got to go to bed. Because, yeah, I went, lay down, went to sleep, woke up, everything's fine. But that moment, there was a choice, and that choice was I was justified in my head. I had the feelings, the coal fire people were ready to work for me. They were going to take me there. And instead of going there, all I could do is like, Jesus, help me. And I felt like a total failure. But I also, looking back, I didn't do what I thought I was headed towards doing. It's like, well, you went to bed, you quit. It's like, yeah, and lived to not fight another day. That was good. Another thing in resisting the flesh, reading God's word is not just doing our time. Reading God's word is the preparation for when our flesh starts to rise up. Because God's word teaches us and reminds us his truth, his right, and becomes this thing for the Holy Spirit to be able to point out and say, nope, we're not going down that road. We'll get into more of that later. All this to say, we get invited by the Holy Spirit to come and walk in a pathway that leads towards life, the kind of path that God can bless. And God's pathway at times seems like foolishness to the world that we live in. It can be almost like you're wanting to live for God. People, oh, that's so cute. Or even having a negative opinion about it. But I can tell you this, the more you continue to walk in the way of the Lord, the more you appreciate the time and energy and the presence that you get from spending with him, and you get to see the consequences of your actions. This is not a bragging, and it's not pointing a finger at anybody who has gone through a separation or a divorce. I can tell you, there's so many times by giving into that indulgence over time, both Joni and myself could have very easily ended up not married to each other anymore. I understand how that happens. It's not only bad people do. I tell you what happens. Our flesh gets involved. We get violated. We get hurt. Things are broken. It's a mess. But I can tell you, by the grace of God and continuing to choose and ask for forgiveness when we go down the flesh way, but to continue to choose to walk according to the Spirit, I can look back and say, we're still married, babe. And we still love each other. And we're doing good mostly. And our kids are married, and our kids love each other. And that's we want to see that continue to happen. I don't want it to be, I gave in this one day, and here's the consequences of it. I hate having interactions with people I used to know who are reaping the consequences of choices sometimes they made, other people made. It's hell. And it's not if you only had the Lord, you'd be like me. It's not it at all. I don't want to see anybody suffer. I don't want to see anybody get ripped off, because the enemy is no respecter of persons. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus is standing there with his arm extended saying, come with me and walk with me and experience real life. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for your word that never goes out void. I thank you for your word that brings life. I thank you for the fact that when we walk according to the Spirit, we see you, we see the blessings that come with you. Lord, I thank you that you give us exactly what we need to be able to resist the flesh, to be able to not indulge it, to not go down the road of giving ourselves over to the flesh. I pray that in these next days and weeks and months, we would continue to grow in our understanding of what it looks like to say no, and our discipline, our self-control. We get that self-control that your Holy Spirit gives would guide and dictate our lives, that we're not going to be people who live according to our passions, but we're people who live according to the Spirit of God. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true and it's life. And as we walk with you, may we see your wisdom work out in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so I wanted to take a second and give you an opportunity. If something today jumped out at you, there's something that God's speaking to you about from what you are hearing us talk about with the Galatians chapter 5. And so if that's you, I would love to hear from you. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, there. I just sound a little bit more Darth Vader-ish. There we go.
Earlier, I was talking to David Moser about this last week, and how I had a really difficult day on Friday, I believe it was, maybe Thursday. But I was talking about how maybe it was a spiritual attack. But in your message today, I realized it was just my flesh throwing a tantrum. And I just think it's interesting how easily we can just, oh, yeah, it was spiritual, and not have to deal with ourselves. And so during the message, I was really encouraged to want to pursue being able to recognize when it is just my flesh throwing a tantrum, and not just, you know, make it a spiritual, I don't even know the word, but yeah, so it was good.
It's kind of funny, because if it's a attack of the enemy, we're off the hook, kind of. And if it's our flesh, we've discovered that the enemy is us. Yeah, anybody else?
I heard a phrase, I was listening to a book, but I heard a phrase that says your gifting has to equal your character. And this, you know, because it's God doesn't revoke it. And so we have to guard that. So we, you know, you can have a great gifting, but where guys fall is where they don't maintain their character along with the strength of their gifting. So it's been rolling around here. So this sermon this morning is perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, anybody else? I think one of my favorite things about the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit takes whatever is said and applies it to our hearts and reminds us of stuff. And some of the best stuff I've ever said, I never said. And so if you go away thinking, man, that was really good today, that's because the Holy Spirit's applying things to your life. Because the best words of the best speaker ever are not transformative to our life. The Holy Spirit is. He uses normal people. You know, I could head in a completely different direction. I'm not going to. But when it came down to it, Rome got so enamored with having great speakers and, you know, putting forward the Ciceros and these great lecturers who just go on forever. And the church at times has tried to follow that. That's why Jesus chose disciples who could barely talk with a speech impediment. Because they spent time with him and God used them and he will use us. May we walk according to his Spirit. Right on. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's web@hillside4.org.